Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio special podcast edition. Thanksgiving week, Louisiana Tech 42-21 victors over UTEP this past weekend in El Paso. An enlightening performance to see the Dogs bounce back after two tough losses at home against North Texas and Florida Atlantic in the previous 2 weeks. I'm joined once again by my co-host Sutton Davison. I know we were both encouraged to see Tech come away with, you know, a three-touchdown victory on the road in El Paso, a tough place to play, a place that Tech hasn't really had a ton of success from a scoring standpoint. I think the last time Tech went out to El Paso, they only pulled out a 17-15 victory. So the 42-21 victory got Tech to 5-6 overall, which sets up a huge home final senior day weekend with Tech having the opportunity to get to bowl eligible against UTSA.
Yeah, it was good to see the Dogs get back on the winning side of things. I know UTEP is quite literally the worst team in Division I football, so I don't think anyone was expecting anything but a W, but it was good to see Tech put up some points against arguably the worst team in the country, a team that averages only 10 points a game. I was a little bummed to see them give up as many points as they did. 21 points to the worst scoring offense in Division I isn't exactly encouraging, but a win nonetheless, and is one of the two pieces that we need to fall into place for Tech to end up in a bowl game.
Absolutely, and you have to be encouraged by the play of Jamar Smith. The offense racked up 546 total yards of offense. We'll get into a full recap of UTEP here in a second. But coming up, you know, it's a podcast edition. Only 20, 30 minutes is kind of what we're planning on, just to kind of get you set for UTSA, recap UTEP. We'll talk a little bit about the Duncan Dogs who are in action tonight. Actually, in Cancun, I know you and I would love to be in Cancun watching the Duncan Dogs take on George Mason. Coach Conkle, his assistant Tony Skinner, are obviously familiar with the George Mason program, so it'll be nice for them to go up against some old counterparts and, you know, get some revenge on the George Mason Patriots, who are a quality mid-major program. So that's really what we're going to get into tonight. So let's get into a quick recap of Louisiana Tech's 42-21 victory over UTEP. Like I mentioned earlier, 546 total yards of offense. Jamar Smith on the day completed 15 of 28 passes for 203 yards, two touchdowns through the air, another 49 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. I was really impressed with how the sophomore quarterback played. It wasn't his best game from a completion percentage standpoint, only going 15 of 28, but I think it's important to point out that Tech was 0 of 6 on deep ball, so it was encouraging for me to see Tech take some shots down the field in that first half, and whether they completed them or not, it really backed off those safeties for UTEP and allowed Jacquees Dancy and Boston Scott to get things going on the ground.
Yeah, career day for Jacquees Dancy, 15 carries, 135 yards, and a touchdown. Really cool to see him break out. I know we've seen him score a couple times. We've seen him involved in things on offense and in the return game, but it was really fun to see him carry the load at running back. Something that Tech fans can get used to seeing going forward next year with Boston Scott and Jared Kraft leaving. But it was really cool to see him, you know, be that premier back that we kind of all thought he could be coming out of Junction City High School. I know Skip said today at his press conference he feels like Jacquees Dancy should be the story of the college football world this week. With him, obviously, it's well recorded, his battle with cancer, overcoming that, and going on to play again and in such short time. But now to have the kind of day he did, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, he's been through so much in his young career. He's only been on campus 3 years, like you mentioned. Stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's no easy bout. I think he won the main battle of his young life, and it was nice to see, like you said. I think he had over 150 total yards, including that touchdown. Boston Scott chipped in another 134 yards on the ground, and he had a touchdown receiving as well as 25 yards receiving. So those two running backs, I think they'd be the story of the day from an offensive perspective, just how well they played. You know, fast forward a little bit to UTSA this week. Holtz talked about in his press conference today that, you know, Kraft may or may not play this week, so I think you could see more of the same. Jacquees Dancy and Boston Scott running the football, which it was a lethal duo last week against UTEP, and it could be a lethal duo this week against UTSA, a good defense. So, you know, offensively, I'm encouraged. Anytime you put up 42 points, 546 total yards, you have to be encouraged. And just shifting things over to the defensive side of the ball, I know you mentioned earlier when you were talking about your thoughts on the game, you were a little disappointed in the 21 points that Tech gave up, and I was as well. You come into this game, UTEP's only averaging, I think, like 216 yards of offense. They rack up over 400 yards on the Tech defense. Some numerous big plays through the air was where Tech had some breakdowns in coverage. So Tech's really going to get those things cleaned up this week.
Yeah, and we've talked about it all year. This is a young defense. This is a defense without a lot of experience, in-game experience. And so they're going to take their lumps even against bad teams. I mean, I'm not going to call any of the FCS schools that Tech's played in recent years non-quality opponents, but we've seen FCS schools come in here and rack up lots of yards and points on this defense. And so it's not a surprise. Also, less than inspiring environment to play in El Paso. You go to a place like the Sun Bowl that holds 51,000 people, and there's an announced attendance of 16,000, which I feel like might be overinflated by about 15,000. And so there's hardly anyone in the stadium. Feels like arguably a joint practice. And so it's really hard to get up for games like that. And I understand, but this team has a lot to play for. This is a team that's looking down the barrel of another bowl appearance. I know that it wasn't the season that we had planned on. It wasn't the one that I'm sure that this team planned on, but it's one that is still able to be salvaged, one that could still have a silver lining, and that silver lining comes in the form of a fourth straight bowl appearance, and that's one that I think that this university and this program should be proud of, and it would be a nice way to cap off what's been a tough season so far.
Yeah, it has been a tough season. When you look at, like you mentioned, a young team breaking in a new quarterback, we've talked about it at length. You know, Jamar Smith's just a sophomore. Skip mentioned in his press conference today he thinks he's the most improved player on the team after turning the ball over five times in the first two games. He's only turned it over once in his last seven. Granted, the offensive passing statistics haven't been as gaudy as years past, but Jamar's doing his job. He's learning on the go. He's becoming more and more comfortable. And most importantly, he isn't turning over the football, and Tech's having an opportunity to win games in the fourth quarter, and they've had fourth quarter drives where they've gone down and got points, and they've had fourth quarter drives where they've ended up getting 3 points and it's come back to bite them. But nonetheless, it was an encouraging offensive and defensive performance. I was happy with how the defense turned UTEP over three times, including a 71-yard pick six from Damarian King. So all in all, like you mentioned, Tech's 5-6 on the year. They have an opportunity to salvage the season Saturday night inside Joe Ie Stadium with a 6:30 p.m. kickoff against UTSA that will be broadcast on ESPNU. And if you are, you know, a fan of Tech, it has been a tough season, but I encourage you, get out to the Joe, support these guys. It's 2 days after Thanksgiving. I know, you know, for Sutton and I both, you know, we have a lot of family in town. Get those guys out to the game with you. There's nothing wrong with that. Show them some high-quality Division I football and show your family what your school that you're most proud of can do on the football field, and it hopefully create an electric environment. I know you and I have talked a lot about how the environment has been lacking, especially over the last couple of weeks, but here's an opportunity for Tech fans to step up and make Joe Ie Stadium a tough place to play.
Yeah, and I don't want to harp too much on the attendance and the environment, but I do want to say I think you were right on when you said this is a school that if you went to school here, if you have a degree from Louisiana Tech, or even if you don't and you're just a fan and growing up around the program like I know you and I both have, there's something to be said about just having pride in your school. And I'm not going to go off on a major tangent on this. I just want to say I read something on our board recently that upset me and that caused me to swell up with pride for my school. And it wasn't something that I loved here in any way. The short of it is there was a fan who went to school at Tech and left, and I believe lives in West Texas now maybe, and her and her family decided to make the trip to Tech, to Ruston, for homecoming against North Texas, and were really excited, and she wrote a post about how she was really excited for that. And anyway, the post ended with her saying it was the worst game day experience she'd ever been around and that she may not ever come back to Ruston again. It's just too far of a drive to commit to something that isn't worth her time. And so that's tough to hear as a supporter of Louisiana Tech and as someone who covers them on a regular basis. It's tough to hear someone who went to this school but has been away for a while to come back and to say, wow, that is not worth making the trip. And so if that elicits any kind of emotion in you, like I know it did for me, the holiday's over with. You've eaten and laid around for two straight days. Come out to the game. Come out to the Joe and watch this team compete for a chance to play in a bowl game. And I think we'll talk about this more. If we do make a bowl game, another opportunity possibly to see the Bulldogs play if the Independence Bowl berth is something that ends up working out. So come to the Joe, final game of the season, UTSA, a high-quality opponent, the best defense in the conference. I know we'll talk at length about that going forward, but that was my rant on the game day experience. It has been rough this year, and I don't think that this is a team worth giving up on quite yet.
Absolutely not. This isn't a team worth giving up on. We've seen it for many years. We've talked about it for, I think, 11, 12 weeks now, how Tech has struggled on offense, but here we are, week 13 of the season, Tech's getting ready to play their 12th game, and you have what you want in front of. You have an opportunity to get to a four straight bowl game. It's senior day. 13 seniors will be putting on the blue and red for the final time inside Joe Ice Stadium. So like Sutton said, get out to the Joe and support these guys. As I know, the Jared Crafts, the Cedric Coopers, the Boston Scotts, the Josh Outlaws, I could go on and on about the seniors that contribute to this team. They're going to lay it on the line one more time Saturday night against UTSA. Against an opponent that, along with Tech, were predicted preseason to win the West Division. They are both picked 1-2 in the West Division. Both teams have underperformed a little bit, but Frank Wilson's doing an exceptional job at UTSA after he came over from LSU. So make it out to the Joe and support the Bulldogs, and let's see what they have to offer on Saturday night.
Before we get into the UTSA matchup with Louisiana Tech this Saturday, let's swing it around the conference a little bit, take a look at some of the results in Conference USA from this past weekend, look where things line up for the conference championship race this weekend, and look forward to the end of the season and bowl matchups going forward. I know before we get into scores, there are two teams that have clinched the East and West divisions. Obviously, Lane Kiffin's team, Florida Atlantic, sitting at 7-0 in Conference USA, 8-3 overall. And then North Texas, the Mean Green, having an amazing year after being one of the worst Division I football programs in the country last year. They're sitting at 6-1 in the West and have clinched that division, 8-3 overall as well. So great seasons for those two doormat clubs usually that have really resurged this year to win each division. So they'll play for the Conference USA title at Florida Atlantic in 2 weeks as we figure out which one of these ball clubs is going to be the Conference USA champion. Obviously, a hurdle that Louisiana Tech would love to get over. It's not going to be this year, but it has been fun seeing a couple of perennially bad programs make their way back to the top. So let's look at some scores from last Saturday. Obviously, we mentioned Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic Owls, a 52-24 victor over Butch Davis's Florida International Panthers. A couple of big-time Division I coaches that are really treading some serious ground here in Conference USA, trying to possibly earn their way back to the major Division I coaching ranks. UTSA, a 9-7 winner over Marshall. That looks encouraging for Louisiana Tech this weekend. Old Dominion, 24, Rice, 21. Southern Miss puts up big points, 66-21 victors over Charlotte. Obviously, Louisiana Tech goes in and wins 42-21 over UTEP. North Texas, a squeak-out game against Army, 52-49. And then Florida goes in and beats UAB 36-7 in a non-conference late-season game there in Birmingham.
Yeah, Sutton, I think it's important to point out where things stand right now. I think Conference USA has 8 bowl-eligible teams, with Middle Tennessee matching up with Old Dominion this upcoming weekend on Saturday, which will, one of those two teams will become bowl eligible. And then potentially, if Tech does defeat UTSA, we'll give Conference USA 10 bowl eligible teams. And Coach Holtz talked about that today in his press conference, how deep this league is this year. He hasn't seen the league be this competitive top to bottom, quite frankly, ever, going back to his East Carolina days. I know the landscape of the conference has shifted a lot since then, but it's encouraging to see potentially 10 bowl eligible teams from Conference USA. I think Tech, like we mentioned earlier, has the inside track on the Independence Bowl if they do win this weekend against UTSA. And just mentioning UTSA, let's go ahead and get into our preview of the Roadrunners. Sutton mentioned earlier that they have the best defense in all of Conference USA. Not only is that defense the best in Conference USA, it's the sixth best defense in the country. So they can do it all under Frank Wilson. He's done tremendous things in his 2 years. I know he's only 12-11 after going, I think it was 7-6 a year ago. So UTSA is a good program coming in here Saturday night.
Yeah, a couple of notable facts about the Louisiana Tech UTSA over all-time series. UTSA and Louisiana Tech, this is their sixth time to meet on Saturday, and so that would join Louisiana Tech and Rice as the most played series in program history. So this is a team that have seen each other quite a few times since UTSA became a program not long ago. So Saturday's game is the second consecutive meeting between the two teams in Ruston. Obviously, they came last year, and then the Bulldogs lead the all-time series 4-1 and have won all three of the prior meetings at Joe IA Stadium. So Louisiana Tech has fared well at home against UTSA, and we're looking to do the same thing again this Saturday. UTSA, a bowl-eligible team for the second straight season after this Saturday's 9-7 win over Marshall. And then interesting stat here, this is Saturday will mark UTSA's 60th straight game on national television. So this is a team that there's some buzz about, this UTSA team. I know Frank Wilson's done a phenomenal job there and is honestly a guy whose name has come up for major head coaching jobs across the country. So this is not a team to take lightly. Obviously, Ben mentioned their phenomenal defense. It's going to be a tall task for Louisiana Tech to get to that six-win mark and end up in a bowl game.
Yeah, perhaps the biggest storyline headed into this weekend's game, as Sutton mentioned earlier, that UTSA came to Ruston last year. Tech ended up winning that ball game 63-35. Coach Holtz put a mop-up touchdown on the Roadrunners with, I think, 5 seconds left on a Jamar Smith run to put Tech up 63-35. Frank Wilson mentioned in his press conference today that they haven't forgot that. So you know the Roadrunners are coming to Ruston with a little bit of revenge on their mind. These are two teams that they don't like each other very much. They've only played 5 times. UTSA hasn't had a program much longer than 5 years. This may be only their 6th year in existence. So whatever chippiness has developed over the previous years is sure to carry over into Saturday, and it'll be interesting to see if Tech can control their emotions.
Ben, that raises a question. I know we talk a lot about the UTSA defense, but this is an offense that's led by a guy who – has been nothing but consistent and reliable over his time there in Dalton Sturm, second in Conference USA and 34th in all of Division I with 140.7 passer rating, and is completing 62.6 of his passes, thrown for over 2,100 yards and 15 touchdowns this season. So this is a guy who's had a successful campaign in his time at UTSA and is doing and is having another one this year. So what does this Louisiana Tech defense have to do, this young secondary that we've talked a lot about, to control Dalton Sturm? I know this is a guy who we talk about, he can find the tight end better than almost any quarterback in the country. What do we have to do between the 20s to keep this guy at bay?
Well, I think the key is going to be for Russell Ferris and Davon Washington at the linebacker spot to keep Sturm in the pocket. He's a dual-threat guy. He really makes plays with his feet and outside the pocket. He's really comfortable being uncomfortable. You mentioned his 140 passer rating, his 63% completion percentage. That's a result of a guy that just doing the most with what he's been gifted with, and he's given Tech fits not only last year but also his sophomore year when Tech traveled down to San Antonio. So, you know, Sturm's what makes this offense go. UTSA doesn't have the gaudiest offense in the world. I think they're putting up over 400 yards of offense, 25 points a game. They have two running backs in the backfield with Rhodes and Clay. Those guys, you know, neither one's nearing 1,000 yards. They're a lot like Jared Kraft and Boston Scott, you know, sharing the load back there. I think UTSA has 4 receivers with over 25 catches. So it's a multi-purposed offense that really does a good job at maintaining their balance and getting the balls to their playmakers. But at the end of the day, like you mentioned, it's about slowing Dalton Sturm down.
So talking about the Louisiana Tech offense a little bit, this is something that I know stands out to me. Last Saturday, at UTEP was the most rushing yards Louisiana Tech's put up since 2013. Louisiana Tech records a season-high 343 yards on the ground, registering two 100-yard rushers for the first time since 2016. So this is a Louisiana Tech rushing offense that we overlook a lot because we talk a lot about Jamar Smith and we talk a lot about, you know, his struggles with consistency this season. But this is a running game. I know we talked about the factory at the beginning of the year that's really kind of become less about Boston Scott and Jared Kraft and a little more about Boston Scott and Jaquiz Dancy. So what's the UTSA defense? I know that's something that we've talked about a lot, how this is a great defense. This is a defense that's top 10 in the country. What does Louisiana Tech have to do offensively with Jamar Smith and then obviously our two-headed monster at running back to really keep this UTSA defense on their heels enough to open up the passing game for Jamar?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about Tech having 343 yards rushing last week. It was the second consecutive week that Tech had the same five on the offensive line starting, and it's anticipated that they'll start together for the third straight week, which is a first for Tech. They've been banged up on the offensive line all year. So if Tech can really get the run game going, I think you're going to see some success on offense. But, you know, when you look at the UTSA defense, Marcus Davenport at defensive end, he's a terror. I think he's 6'7". He has 15.5 tackles for loss. A lot like Jalen Ferguson, a guy that was looked to have a huge season for Tech this year. He's been slowed for whatever reason it may be. Ferguson only has 4.5 sacks. But Tech is going to have to figure out a way to stop Davenport on the edge from getting to Jamar Smith and from disrupting the run game. So if Tech can run the ball effectively, I think you'll see the Bulldogs have a lot of success on offense. I know Holtz mentioned today in his press conference, again, we keep going back to his press conference, but I found that he had a lot of interesting nuggets today, which sometimes isn't the case. We know he's prone to, you know, give that general coach speak, but it was interesting to hear him say that UTSA, not only is their defense really good, their offense controls the ball exceptionally from a time of possession standpoint, which in a normal game, you look at your offense, normally has 11 or 12 possessions. He's expecting to only have, you know, 8, maybe 9 possessions on Saturday. So hey, my question to you is, you know, when you're facing a really quality defense that isn't going to give up a lot, you're facing an offense that controls the football, how important is it for Tech to really get Jamar into a rhythm early on and have some success, whether it is a field goal early, just to give him that confidence going forward?
Well, that's been one of the things we've seen all season long, is that Jamar is a guy who is extremely gifted, immensely talented. We've seen that. But he's a guy that thrives on consistency and on, you know, having time to go through his reads, to have time and find an open receiver. He's not a guy that reacts super well under pressure. And, I mean, I watched Russell Wilson last night on Monday Night Football. This is a guy who runs for his life every single play. I mean, bad offensive line in Seattle, as bad as an NFL offensive line could probably be. I know they're down a couple guys. But Russell Wilson's a guy who pretty much anticipates having to do some sort of heroic something on every single play. He's dipping, diving, spinning, you know, dodging defenders, and then finding guys downfield. That is not who Jamar Smith is. As much as I think Tech fans have tried to paint him into that light, he's not Russell Wilson. Jamar Smith is a guy who really is a pocket passer. I know he has the ability to run, and he has the ability to make things happen with his legs when the time comes, but this is not a guy who does well under pressure. This is a guy who needs time to sit and to go through his progression and to find open receivers. And when he does, I mean, the guy throws a really nice ball. We've seen him do it time and time again this season, but he's not a guy, and maybe this comes with maturity and extra time on the field, extra time in spring ball, extra time, you know, away from the baseball diamond, I think is what we're getting at. This is a guy that was going to grow up, and he's going to get better at that. He's going to have time to go through those progressions quicker in his head. So I guess what I'm saying is the Tech offensive line is something that we've talked about a lot this year as being pretty inconsistent and pretty bad at a lot of times. That group, that unit, is one that I'm going to be looking for this week to step up early, to provide Jamar with time to throw, and to get this offense moving down the field into the red zone and scoring points. Now, you talk about, do we need a field goal to start the game? Obviously, we'll take points when we can get it. But I think field goals lose games, touchdowns win games. And so we've seen that this year. I mean, this is a Tech team that's lost three or four games by less than 3 points. And so less field goals, more touchdowns. When we get in that red zone, it's time to put six on the board, and I think it starts up front with the O-line and giving Jamar that time we keep talking about to make plays.
Yeah, you talk about converting red zone opportunities into touchdowns. I caught up with Javi Cardenas, birdsup.com, UTSA rival site. UTSA has had much of the same struggles Tech has had in the red zone. They're converting only 47% of the 47% of their red zone opportunities into touchdowns, whereas Tech, you know, went 3 of 3 a week ago against UTEP, but their number's not much better. I think it's somewhere around 55-57%. So this game very well might come down to who can score more touchdowns in the red zone. I think, you know, from a advantage standpoint, you have to like UTSA just because Tech has had their red zone struggles, and on top of that, they're going against a quality UTSA defense. But I think the keys to the game for me is Tech has to really come out firing on all cylinders offensively. There's no time to come out with a slow start offensively, kind of get bogged down, you know, maybe fall behind 7-0, 10-0. I think if that's the case, you really allow Davenport and the other guys up front on that UTSA defensive line to really rush the passer. And when you're throwing it nearly every down, you're going to have trouble, especially against a UTSA defense that, you know, they can stop pretty much anyone. They've shut down Baylor, who isn't the program that they used to be. They've shut down, you know, Western Kentucky. They've shut down whoever it may be. They shut down Marshall a week ago. Marshall didn't score a touchdown until the final minute of the game. So, you know, this is a game where Tech, like Sutton said, the offensive line has to come out with that nasty mentality and get the job done up front and allow Jamar Smith to have some clean pockets and make some effective throws through the air.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech hasn't even been really great at playing from behind against non-quality defenses, much less against a defense to the caliber of UTSA. So this is a Tech team that when they fall behind, it's tough sledding to get back in front. And I know that in years past, it hasn't been that way. This is a team that we've been used to being able to score points like that and flip fields and get back in the end zone in just under a minute usually. So I know that this isn't a team that is like that can get out there and score a lot of points when they're behind. I think it's important for Tech to take the opening kickoff and to go down and to establish their offense early, and then, gosh dang it, defend. Coming out of the locker room at the third quarter, I think we've talked ad nauseum about this team's third quarter woes. But I think it's important to start early, set the tempo, get Jamar into a rhythm, and start scoring points quick so that this team's out front. But switching things up a little bit, what, Ben, do you feel like are the keys for this Louisiana Tech defense to defend against Dalton Sturm and the uber-consistent UTSA offense?
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about how good Dalton Sturm has been over the course of his career. But heading into this game, the biggest key for me defensively will be Tech has to slow down the UTSA run game. You look at a week ago, UTEP had a lot of success on the ground. That was a running game that had struggled throughout the year. So for me, I think that Tech has to be able to slow down UTSA's running game and make Sturm beat them with his arm. It's always easy to say that Tech's secondary is young, and, you know, they could potentially struggle in man coverage. But for me, it's make him beat you in man coverage, and then I think you'll have a lot of success. So that's kind of our preview of UTSA. It's going to be a good matchup. I think it's a pretty even matchup on the field. Two teams that don't like each other very much. UTSA is coming to Ruston with revenge on their mind, and I'm excited to see how Tech's going to perform on Saturday. So just jumping into things to get us going as we recap, you know, round out the show. I just want to take a look at bowl projections. We've talked about the last couple weeks on the show, but here we are. Tech's 5-6, bowl game on the horizon if they pick up a victory. You know, in weeks past, we've said that the eyeball is the ideal landing spot. I read an article today by Roy Lang of the Shreveport Times. I think Roy's done a nice job these last couple of weeks about the possible matchups for the eyeball. The SEC is obviously not going to fulfill their obligation. So for me, I would really like to see Tech travel 75 miles down I-20 and have the opportunity to play in the eyeball against a quality ACC opponent.
Yeah, I think, you know, we live in a day and age where it's a good thing that Louisiana Tech may end up in the Independence Bowl. I know that that's not something that fans talk about every year as the goal is making it to the what we consider the lowly Shreveport Independence Bowl. But no, it's not. That's not the case. It's a quality game, opportunity to play a quality opponent like a Florida State, like someone that you know Tech hasn't gotten to see, and someone with a little bit of national name recognition. It's never a bad thing for a Louisiana Tech team to be able to play essentially a home game and possibly even pull off a win against a team with a lot of name recognition across this country. So I would love to see Louisiana Tech pick up that sixth victory and end up in the Independence Bowl. I know that, you know, it's not, you know, the Access Bowl or one of these bowls that the top teams in the conference end up in, but it's a stepping stone in that direction, and it's a coveted fourth victory in a row in a bowl game for this program. So, yeah, I think that it's not a bad thing, and it's not something that Tech fans should hang their heads about, but, you know, something that we should be excited about, essentially an eighth home game for this team.
Yeah, you've heard it here. The two Tech experts would love to see Tech travel down I-20 and play in the Eye Bowl come December 27th. I think that kickoff set for 12:30 p.m. Just a couple of things before we get out of here. Duncan Dogs are in action in Cancun as we speak, playing George Mason. Hopefully the Dogs can pick up a victory and move on to 4-0 on the season. I know the Duncan Dogs are one of only 86 programs that remain undefeated in college basketball. So Coach Conkle and his team are off to a great start, and that's certainly nice to see. If you have the opportunity, you could watch them. You know, I think they're on CBS Sports Network tonight, and I think they'll be on CBS Sports Network again tomorrow. Tech currently leads George Mason 8-5. I think they're at the under 16 timeout in the first half. So that's kind of where they're at. I know next week we'll be back live on Sports Talk 97.7. We'll recap the UTSA game. We'll take a look ahead to any potential bowl game. And obviously we'll talk a little bit more Duncan Dogs basketball and whatever else is going on in Louisiana Tech athletics. But as always, I'd like to thank my co-host Sutton Davison. For Bleed Tech Blue Radio, I'm Ben Carlisle. Thanks for listening.